welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 215 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well.
You're actually sat right in front of me. I can touch you. I could touch you. Go on, yeah. Fist bump. How are you doing? You're right. You're back from the Middle East.
Yeah, I always come back.
Middle East.
No, well, Middle East. Yeah.
Middle Earth. Yeah.
I come back with a Qatari throat always because of the sand.
Yeah.
And people do habituate to it. People have been there for a while. Seem to do okay. A lot of people wear masks when they're walking around.
Is that the diesel fumes, or is that because of
the... No, it's the sand.
The sand.
It's in the air,
yeah. Wow. When the dust storms come in, is it proper like in a movie, you can see this thing in the distance coming? Or is it more gradual and...
Well, it's like there's a haze, yeah. There's a haze. And when you're out at Doha and you're looking across, you can see it just hanging right over the city.
Wow.
So you've got the bit about the sand and the moisture in the air, but also you've got the pollution, I guess. There's like a bit smoggy.
For folks new to the show, Sean is a very highly respected, for some reason, psychotherapist. He's been doing a bit of work in Qatar of late. I'm a massively failed entrepreneur. Or failing. No, I'm not.
That's really kind of negative.
Yeah, but I've got a good sense of humour about it. I'm doing all right. And this is the Self-Help Podcast. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is our website, as I pour myself a glass of water. Check it out for all the show notes and links. There wasn't a blog post last week because you were just too busy, weren't you?
But I've written it.
Oh.
So it can go up this week.
All right, we'll figure that out. But there is definitely a blog for this week's show.
There is.
So
I'm writing it right now as we speak.
Very good. Check it out. And if you stick your email address at the top in one of those boxes, we'll send you some free meditation files, morning and evening relaxation bits and bobs. So check it out, and we'll also send you weekly alerts to this podcast, so you'll be first of it, front of the queue for when they come out and online. Not bad, eh?
Yeah.
So you're getting settled into Qatar, I mean, in the sense that you actually starting to feel a bit settled in a little bit? And...
Well, it's, you know, when you know the territory.
Mm.
So I know where I'm going, I know what's happening, and I know loads of people now, so
yeah.
People are going, you know, hiya, hiya.
Like within where you're living or just in the where you're working?
Weird thing of all...
Is there much is community?
I'm in this tower of apartments. There's 8 apartments on each floor and there's 46 floors.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's quite a few places.
Is there a gym?
There's a gym and a swimming pool.
Okay.
Yeah, but when you go up and down in the lifts, and there are 6 lifts, or no, 8 lifts going up and down, and you don't see anybody. Yeah, I go up and down in those lifts, and half of the people in the block working, or half of the apartments, are people that are working in the hospital. So first thing in the morning when I come down, waiting for the car to come and pick me up, there'll be people there that'll be kind of chatting and talking.
Uh-huh.
You know, but beyond that...
Is there a space where you can go and hang out with people, or is it...
Yeah, there's spaces in there.
If you want to.
Yeah. But there's the gym and the pool area have kind of sort of socialising slots, and then there's a restaurant in there and what would be a bar in another country, but they do soft drinks and coffees.
Yeah. Non-alcoholic strawberry daiquiris and all that.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. And a kind of a lounge area, I guess, where you can go and sit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no one drinking out of like brown paper bags or anything like that.
No. You wouldn't last long if you were drinking out of brown paper bags.
Wow. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'm doing all right as well. I've had my semi-spiritual experience. I went to see Radiohead in Manchester recently.
Yeah,
a couple weeks ago.
Good.
I played Glastonbury just like the week before.
Yeah.
So I was like right in the mood for it. And
yeah.
I'm an Uber fan, so I'm kind of used to people not really liking him that much.
Mm.
They're all miserable, aren't they, moping around? But they just take me to a whole other place, man.
But miserable is what songs are about usually, aren't they? I'm so fed up and I'm going to tell you all about it.
Yeah.
My baby left me.
The sound is quite miserable, but underneath they have these quite humorous lyrics as well, which a lot of people don't get.
Yeah.
I've listened to them enough to kind of... I chuckle away when I listen to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of detail and texture. The sound they make is unbelievable, especially live. And then had a nice weekend in Cheltenham. Shout out to the Cheltenham Massive. That's a nice town, that place, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Got some friends that moved there recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a lovely place.
It's a Regency, Georgian-y kind of place. Yeah, some beautiful architecture.
Some beautiful spots, yeah. There's a park. There's an outdoor swimming pool, the Lido.
Mm-hmm.
Had some fun there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, respect to that town. Yeah, no mucking around. But we're going to crack on with the show.
Yep.
We're talking about the law of allowing this week, so...
And it's interesting that, because lots of people, over the time we've been doing this, come back to this all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's...
From different angles.
Mm. It's an important one, isn't it? I mean, it takes up a whole chapter in the book, Living the Present book, which is now back in stock.
Yep.
If you want to buy it from the website. But yeah, what is it, chapter 2 or 3? It's quite early on, law of allowing, isn't it?
No, it's about chapter 4.
It is chapter 4, you know, I recall.
Yeah. I was working, I ran a group earlier on today, and one of the guys on the group said that he just got the book and was just doing step 1, and how powerful that was for him, but tough stuff.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, the early few chapters, and this one included, are... I remember doing the course all those years ago, and this one always gets tongues a-wagging, the law of allowing. As we will soon discover. I just want to say thanks to Cheryl, who sent us a message saying to discuss this one, because she wants to talk about the law of allowing, how to allow people in your life to be, even when their decisions can have quite a big effect on you. So is starting things off then, is that a case of not letting those people affect you? Because we talk in various episodes, we've talked about how sometimes you need to cut people out of your life that are having a negative impact, but sometimes it's not doable, is it? So is the law of allowing like a barrier to allow those people to stay in your life but not affect you?
The thing for me about the law of allowing, because I always talk about sitting on the bank watching the river flow, and you can't stop the flow of the river.
No.
You can try and stop it and rush out there, but then you end up getting washed away in the water, in the current. So that the issue about, can I allow the world to be what it needs to be without me needing to intervene in it, sounds like it's a passive message, but it isn't. It's the message of not being attached. So it could be that someone is acting like an idiot and I need to say to them, you know, look, sunshine, I don't know whether you realise this, but you're acting like an idiot. You look like this when you're doing that kind of stuff. And that is a mindful law of allowing message. If I was to go up to them and go, for God's sake, do you realise? And I'm really angry and attached to it, it's my stuff, not theirs.
Yep.
Yeah, so my level of emotion is the barometer of how much I own this. So the more angry I get about something, the more it's my stuff.
Yeah.
And the more objective I am about it, the more it's their stuff.
Okay.
Yeah,
and just a part of that, in terms of like leading by example, there's much more chance of them changing their ways and coming to our way of thinking if you kind of lead by that example rather than join their side, the dark side. And
but then we're talking about, do you remember Coué's law of reversed effort? Is when you have a go at somebody, it usually has the reverse effect.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's that thing that you always have to be aware of. One of the quickest ways to change someone else's behaviour is to change your response, because everybody's behaviour is reward-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So if you change the reward, or you take the reward away, then the behaviour is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no purpose to it, because they're not getting what they need out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the easiest way to change another person is to change yourself.
You can't change the world, you can only change yourself.
I mean, the issue that was raised in the email that's been sent was, if you've got a member of your family who is acting in ways and doing things that you disapprove of,
yep,
and maybe those things are damaging to you or damaging to, like, another member of the family, is the law of the land, does that mean that you can stand by and watch that happen? And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my example is the one I've used before, which is about if Hitler was to reappear at this moment and try to do a kind of a fascist dictatorship of the world, I wouldn't want to go and fight, but I would be prepared to go and fight, to not allow him to do that,
yep,
not allow that energy to happen. So that all those concepts about the law of allowing, what can I allow to happen or not happen, it's understanding where I am in that. Yeah? And like I say, ultimately, the law of allowing is not a passive message, it's an active message.
Yeah.
Okay? I can change anything, I can do anything, I can change the world, but if I do it with that kind of reactive aggression, then I create more of what I don't want. Yeah? If I do it with responsive, ordered actions, then I can create what I do want.
Yeah. But it doesn't actually... The our current kind of political climate doesn't seem to echo that right now, does it? Because we've got Mr. T over in the States kind of shouting his mouth off, and he's not quite Hitler. I think people have used that term against him, but I think, I don't know, it's doing Hitler a bit of a disservice.
He's not a fascist dictator who's trying to take over the world.
Mm.
Yeah, he may be right-wing, and he may be a bit off his trolley... As far as I'm concerned, that's a psychological diagnosis. By the way. I can allow him to be what he needs to be, and I can allow the American people to vote for who they want. Yeah, I may think that they are not making the best decisions for them, but there's no point in me jumping up and down, screaming about it and banging my head on the wall.
Yeah,
because I'm not going to change anything.
So what do we do then? Because there's a lot of people. Because I'm a bit of a news junkie on Twitter and what have you. And the same thing over here, you know, Brexit's in full swing, really. Everything's being argued here, there and everywhere from my side. I'm trying to do everything to stop it or halt it. And I can see the same in political conversations from journalists in the States about, you know, journalists are just up in arms about what Trump's doing on a daily basis and what he's saying, but doesn't seem to be having any impact or effect. So what tactics should we be using?
I think the only tactics that you can use are the tactics of example and expression and communication. I mean, I don't agree with Brexit. I think that if we do come out of Europe, I think it'd be one of the most stupid things we've ever done as a group of people. And I think that we will live to regret that. Although people will paper over the cracks and they'll say, of course, it's not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have to create what they can with what they've done. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think that it's a profoundly stupid thing to do. But I'm biased, aren't I? So I'm biased to my own point of view. But overall, I have to allow the British people to be what the British people are. And if my fellow citizens decide that they want to do that, or they decide that everybody's got to wear pink, you know, then there comes a point where, in the law of allowing, I either have to go along with that, or I become a terrorist to it. I may be able to stand up against it, I may be able to argue against it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but terrorism is when I can't use the law of allowing anymore. I'm so intolerant of what other people are doing, I can't allow them to do it.
Mm.
So now I'm prepared to die for it, I'm prepared to attack them for it.
There are times when that's the right thing to do, I assume.
I think that those things are an individual decision, aren't they, for us? And it's the magic of mindfulness is not making a reactive decision, it's making a responsive decision. So that if I can look within myself,
yeah,
and I can decide, no, this is the right thing for us, for me to do at this moment,
mm-hmm.
then that's a responsive, mindful thing. If I react and go off like a headless chicken, that's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's hard to get your head around that.
I'm trying to think of some of the examples of when we did the course, because I remember this week coming up, and there was some quite, you know, polite but heated debates about, well, how can you allow this person to do this, or this sex offender that lives down the road from me, he's been having it, doing all sorts with children for years, how can I let that be? So what I can't remember how you came back.
The issue always is, when you're looking at the law of allowing, and it goes back to the Mother Teresa quote. Then you dropped me an iPad there. it goes back to the Mother Teresa quote, where Mother Teresa says, if you do an anti-war rally, I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah? Because she knows that what you focus on grows. So if you're focusing on war and anti-war, you get more of what you don't want. Whereas she said, if you make it a peace rally, then I'll come.
Mm.
Yeah, because she understands that if you focus on peace, you get more peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that issue all the time, that in allowing, do I focus on, I don't know, obliterating Hitler, or do I focus on developing a free world? Yeah, do I focus on fighting drugs, or do I focus on creating a world of which there is no need for people to fight for drugs, people to have, you know, I don't know, child exploitation and people trafficking and money laundering and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things that we fight against, we get more of.
There's something about basic kind of politeness here as well, isn't there? There's a couple of articles that I linked to which are kind of, not tongue-in-cheek, but the titles are. So the one is The Idiot's Guide to Dealing with Idiots. And there's another one which is on Quora.com. A question, someone asked the question, how do intelligent people deal with idiots?
Mm.
And the answer to that one is really good, the top answer, which I'll link to. So it's a chap who's kind of, you know, he explains that he's, you know, pretty well read and learned. He's got decent IQ and all that, and he's talking about how he speaks to people that aren't at the same kind of intellectual level as him. And, you know, it's really obvious stuff in the end. It's like just about politeness and about taking the side where you're always ready to learn. That's one of the first things he says. Always be ready to learn, whoever you're meeting, whoever you're chatting to.
But that for me is Ramji saying to me that whenever you meet somebody, in my case working with him, whenever you meet a client, the first question you should ask yourself is, what's this client come to teach me?
Hmm.
Because you will grow and learn if you're aware and awake to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So important.
Mm. Yeah, there's another website with a quote which is all about the law of allowing. Choosing to use the law of allowing means that we can accept what life brings us without judging it and making it wrong, knowing that if we prefer to experience something else, we can use our power as conscious creatures to create what we want in our lives.
Yeah.
So that was quite nice.
Yeah. And when we're talking about the law of allowing in that sense, I could always look at that from the point of view of allowing myself to be happy, allowing myself to be fulfilled, allowing myself to achieve what I need.
Yeah.
So, like, allowing isn't just an external process, it's an internal process too.
Mm.
Yeah. So that if you go back to the original email that we had, the way that I read it was that what the person's saying is that they are affected by what someone else is doing. Now, if you go back to that idea that the effect or the level of the effect, the more I own it, the more it's my stuff, the more emotional I'm going to become about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that I should be cold and logical. To have feeling is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's owned. What do I own? And it doesn't mean that she should stand back and allow this person to mistreat other people in the family. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. But the issue is, if she addresses that from the point of view of mindful response, she won't get the reaction that she would get if she does a reaction herself.
Yeah.
Yeah? So it's that kind of, if she gets angry with the other person and screams and shouts at them, she'll create more of what she doesn't want.
I only read a headline. I was flicking through the news today, and I saw a headline on a website, on the Telegraph. I didn't read the article, but I just thought now this would be a good one to include, and I'll try and remember to stick it in the show notes. But basically, it was asking for advice on a member of the family who had a kind of history of basically abuse to the girls in the family, you know, on a basic level, kind of touching when it was in an inappropriate way. That's what I got from the headline. Have you dealt with situations like that, where there's someone in a family who's quite clearly doing things he or she shouldn't be?
Yeah.
That needs to be confronted, or?
Well, it's not that easy, is it? Yeah, you've got to start to look at what's going on. So sometimes you've got, you know, a pervy person. And so the next question is, why are they pervy? What's going on? Is it something that needs to be dealt with in them, something that happened to them? So they're playing stuff out. Is somebody right through, I guess, to the more kind of psychopathic thing, where the person doesn't have that kind of insight to see that what they're doing is wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to approach it in different ways. I mean, the other thing is that when people's brains get addled, and that can be from substance abuse, it can be from illness, it can be from some kind of degenerative, that's a good word, degenerative illness.
Cracking word.
When I worked in the acquired brain injury unit, you'd have people that had lost their boundaries. So a little old man, you know, priest maybe, who's suddenly fondling every woman that walks past because the voice in his head that says you shouldn't do that isn't talking.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that you have to understand what it is that you're dealing with. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's wrong to allow anybody who is misusing, abusing, mistreating other people to do it. I think that we should stop someone doing that.
Yeah.
But the difference is whether we, and this is the allowing bit, whether we positively promote more of not that behaviour and remove those people from society, as opposed to let's go and hang them all from the lampposts.
Mm.
Because it has a different effect.
Yeah.
And violence and violent responses never have a peaceful outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you do violence, you create more violence. If you do anger, you create more anger. Yeah, if you're calm and responsive, you're going to create more calm, responsive effects. Yeah.
Is there also, I was just playing devil's advocate as well, in acting the law of allowing, is it quite a selfish thing to do, though? I don't really mean this, but I'm just kind of putting it out there to get your response, in the sense that, yeah, things need to be challenged sometimes.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that. That is the law of allowing. Yeah. It's okay to challenge things that are wrong. It's just wrong to react to things that are wrong.
Yeah. So you can challenge things in a certain way.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? If I go up and say to somebody, that behaviour doesn't work, you know, can we work on changing it? That's more kind of mindful. If I get a stick out and start hitting them around the head and say, you will change, yeah, it's going to create more of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like communication, the word communication means common union, to be at one with, in the same place. And if you actually communicate with someone, they actually hear the message.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas we broadcast at people, and we think that they should have received it, and they didn't hear what we said, they didn't hear what we meant.
There's plenty of that goes online in Twitter, you know, where I see, I kind of follow conversations in political stuff, and mm-hmm. you just see people shouting stuff and not the mm-hmm. message not getting in at all, and things just going completely, people are moving further apart rather than coming closer together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm guilty of it as well sometimes, you know, when I get involved in little spats when I shouldn't online. Mm. But sometimes it's hard to resist, but I'm getting there.
Good fun.
Okay, anything else? Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm good.
High five.
There you
What's
go.
Your resource?
I'm putting up a little blog.
Ooh, look at you with your split-screen iPad.
Hey, split-screen.
La-di-da.
I'm putting up this sort of one, which is how to deal with a person that you dislike but you have to work with. And that's the classic law of allowing. And it's got some good tips in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Copy that into the show notes right now before I forget.
I'm going to do that
right
said. Now this minute.
Mine is nothing to do with law of allowing, but mine's a documentary that I saw. In fact, well, I'm sure I could link it in there somehow. It's a documentary called What the Health, which is a follow-up to Cowspiracy.
Right.
Cowspiracy got me off beef almost entirely because it made some pretty persuasive arguments from a health, diet and environmental point of view.
Yeah.
And this is the follow-up one, which is more about the dairy industry as a whole.
Yeah.
Pretty eye-opening, pretty interesting. I've tried to search online for a few kind of articles where things have been debunked and I couldn't find any, so I think it's all some pretty solid evidence in there again.
One of the interesting things about the law of allowing is I know many people who are vegan and vegetarian who are almost fascist about their attitudes towards meat eaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in the terms of the law of allowing, I think that people have to decide what it is that they want to do. I'm sure that if we went to a restaurant and someone led a calf round and said, OK, this is for tea chaps, who's going to bang it on the head, then people would be outraged. But that's actually what happens to the calf before you eat it. It's just where it happens and who does it.
Yep.
And it's very convenient to go down to the supermarket and get a box full of dead body and take it home and eat it. If you actually have to go out and get the dead body yourself, a lot of people would become vegetarian.
Yep.
Yeah. But the thing is that I choose not to eat meat in the main. I eat a bit of fish, stuff like that, if I'm in the mood. I've even been known to have sausage and mash in nostalgia.
You know, with, for old times
with onion
sake.
And gravy, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I'm okay with my relationship with food. I don't need to dictate to other people what their relationship with food should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in that sense, you could call it karma, if you like. We're all creating our own futures, our own worlds. You know, we do what we feel is right.
Yeah.
And that's okay, but I don't need people to do what I do to make it right.
Right. Well, both Cowspiracy and What the Health are on Netflix, if you've got access to it, or whatthehealth.com, I think, is the website where you can see the trailer, and you'll find it somewhere. You're clever, guys. That's it. We'll see you all next week. Livingthepresent.co.uk for all the show notes and links. Our book is back in stock, Living the Present book. It's a good read. It's beautifully designed by me.
Yeah,
it will change your life.
Absolutely incredible.
And chapter 4, Law of Allowing, if you do want more.
Yeah.
It's a good read. And you get the digital version for cheap as well through our website as well. Or
yeah.
Is it on iBooks, Living the Present? I think it is, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I should know, because I will have uploaded it
many
years ago.
It's on iBooks and on audio, what do you call it?
Kindle,
that's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, I had good fun formatting that back in the day. Right, Sean, take it easy.
And you.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.